Turn in your Bibles this morning, if you will, to Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to be reading a passage of Scripture that begins in verse 20, but I want you to pay particular attention to the last verse, verse 28. Now, if you got the children's sermon this morning, then you're ahead of the game and you know where we're starting with the adult message this morning. You see, people throw around the name Christian and don't ever think of what that means. We talk about being a Christian nation, and I ask people what that means. And they say, well, we're not Muslim, we're not Buddhist, we're a Christian nation. Without a clue of what it means to be a Christian. So this morning, as we read the passage, I want you to think about the heart of Christianity. Beginning in Matthew chapter 20 and in verse 20. This comes at a time after Jesus has been teaching his disciples that he is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. And immediately after this, we see Jesus coming to Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday that we call the Day of Triumphal Entry. And so this is an important time in the life of Jesus and his ministry. Beginning then in verse 20, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? They said to him, we are able. He said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit down on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the ten became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called him to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, but whosoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whosoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's pray together. Father, I simply pray that through your Holy Spirit, you drive the truth of your word deep into our hearts to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a day when every ology and every ism has a theory for coping with life. I'll give you just a couple examples. And it's always been that way back in Jesus' day. The Greeks would say it this way. They would say that the important thing in life is wisdom and knowledge. The Romans in Jesus' day would have said that the important thing in life is strength and discipline. There was a group in Jesus' day known as the Epicureans. And they would tell you that the most important thing in life is sensuality and enjoy. Enjoy life to the fullest. In our day, psychology would say, be confident. Assert yourself. Materialism would say, satisfy. Please yourself. Humanism would say, the important thing is superiority. Believe in yourself. And religion as such says some of all of the above. But Christianity, on the other hand, says, be a good steward, give of yourself. The world says, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. And Jesus says, give. Give. I want us to think this morning about some of the New Testament principles of Christian giving, and as that pertains to the heart of Christianity. Giving begins with a vision. Begins with a vision. The Bible says that where there is no vision, the King James says the people perish. And a very literal translation would say that the people run amok. So many times when churches have just one internal problem after another, the root problem simply is they have no vision. No vision. They don't know where they're going. They've always got somebody saying go, but they don't know where. You see, the disciples gave up everything. They gave up their homes. They gave up their jobs. They gave up their security. In many cases, they were called upon to give up their family. Why? Why would a person do that? Well, the fact is that they caught a vision of the kingdom of God from the Son of God. And it changed their lives. It changed their lives. What's your vision this morning? What's your vision of what it means to be a Christian? What's your vision of what the business of the church should be? What's your vision about how we need to carry out the Great Commission and the Great Commandment? You see, it wasn't just the first believers, but you know, the book of Acts is just absolutely filled with the lives of people who gave up everything. Men and women who gave up everything to follow Jesus. Their homes and their income and their land and their possessions. And their time and their talents. They suffered persecution and torture. Why would a person do that? You know, the Bible says of the early church, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Acts chapter 2. Beginning in verse 43, it says, and everyone, that means all of them, everyone, kept on feeling a sense of awe And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and their possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God. And the Bible then says that the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, there was no question that people knew that they were Christian, and they might not have known all of what that meant, but they could see that they were being obedient to a vision that the Lord Jesus had given them. A vision to share the gospel. Jesus said, "Ye shall be my witnesses in Judea and then further out into Samaria and then into the uttermost parts of the world. Ye shall be my witnesses." You see, they had a vision that looked beyond today. A vision that looked beyond what we have to what God has. You see, we have a choice. We can either live for self or give ourselves. So giving then occurs as a result of a vision. Secondly, giving entails a sacrifice. Luke chapter 21 and beginning in verse 2 is the account we call the widow's mite. And you remember Jesus was sitting in the temple very close to where people came and threw in their offerings. I joke when I remember what I heard a preacher say one time. They were taking the offering, and they didn't have any of those nice little pieces of felt in the bottom of their plates. And when he passed that plate, he said, "Folks, I want that plate to be full, and I don't want to hear no change." In Jesus' day in the temple, there were boxes to put in your offering that had like a big cornucopia horn. And you could throw it in, and it would tinkle all the way down. Well, now you know the bigger coin, the bigger the tinkle, right? And you could sit there for a minute and pretty much gauge what people were throwing in. And a lot of people were taking a lot of pride in making a lot of tinkle. And in the midst of all of that, there was a sweet old widow woman. And she came up and she threw in two coins. Now, in those days, it was a little bit different. Those two coins were valued at probably less than a penny today. Didn't tinkle much going down. And Jesus turned to his disciples. And the Bible said that she gave all of her living. Now, I want you to know something. She didn't just give a tithe. She gave what they would have had for dinner that day. We talk about sacrifice and we don't know what we're talking about. You know, as I think about that, Jesus taught that it's not the size of the gift that matters, it's the size of the sacrifice. There are people that it doesn't cost them, as far as their way of life, it doesn't cost them if they put in $1,000 a week. You say, wow, that's a lot of money. To some people, it's not. And there are other people that if they put in a dollar a week, it would make a difference in how they lived. Now that's sacrifice. Florence Nightingale was one of those people, and there's a story told about her. All of you know who that is, right? All of the young ladies that ever want to be nurses, she's their hero. Florence Nightingale. When she was 30 years old, the thought came to her mind, you know, I'm 30 years old, and that's the time when Jesus started his ministry. And it's time for me to put away frivolous things and foolishness and get serious about how to spend the rest of my life. And so she worked hard. And her joy was in her work. And she gave of herself. When she came to the end of her life, she was speaking to those who had gathered around her bed. And she said, I don't know what God thinks, but I know I have kept nothing back from God. Sometimes it's not so important what we do as what we could have done and don't. You see, the heart of Christianity says, you haven't given God anything until, in fact, you give God everything. Giving also leads to life. I'm going to see how much of your geography of the biblical lands you've learned when you were little children. Far up in the northern part of Israel, there's a little brook that flows down through the country and it flows into the Sea of Galilee. And it keeps the Sea of Galilee full. The Sea of Galilee is filled with fish and all manner of water animals. It's always been that way, abundance of fish. And at the bottom of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, the southern tip, the lake overflows into the Jordan River and forms that river. And as the Jordan River flows south, it flows through arid, dry land, but as it moves, it creates that land that the Bible says is the land of milk and honey. It turns the desert into crops. And then the Jordan River runs into the Dead Sea. And nothing comes out of the Dead Sea. And everything in the Dead Sea dies. You see, the point is simply this. One has to give to live. One has to give to live. And abundant giving, and I'm talking about giving yourself. All that you are. Abundant giving then equates into abundant living. And if all we ever worry about is what is poured into us, and we don't ever worry about what flows out of us, then the fact is there's no life in us. There's one other thing about giving. Giving produces joy. You ever heard the saying, give until it hurts? Have you ever said? I've probably said that. Duh. Give until it hurts. What a foolish thing. The glory is, give until it feels good. Do y'all remember Scrooge and the Christmas Carol? Oh, he was a happy guy, wasn't he? He had a bad case of the grumbellies from the time he got up in the morning to the time he went to bed at night. He was so cheap and so stingy that he had the first nickel he'd ever made. And old Scrooge didn't have a friend, didn't love anybody, didn't care about anybody. The only thing that Scrooge cared about was amassing that money until he had a vision or a series of them that showed him that the money just doesn't matter and that it's life that matters. And in a moment, he changed. And he became a giving individual and a caring individual and a loving individual. And the joy of it is you see it in Scrooge and you read it as you read. That grumpy, mean-spirited, hateful old man turns into one filled with joy and happiness. And the only difference is he stops living for the money and begins giving. Begins giving. You see, the point is simply this. We don't give until it hurts. We give until it feels good. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when we give, our hearts reflect the Lord as he indwells our lives. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4 says that he is our life. He is our life. Do you know how you can tell if that's true in the life of a person who claims to be a Christian? If his life is lived out through their life. You see, it shows in a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. My cousin visited this week and been a teacher all his life. Has two masters and two earned doctorates. And he's always taught theology. And there's one thing I think he and I would agree on. You can teach all the theology you want, but until a person begins to live the Jesus life day in and day out, and you see his life reflected in them, then they have no claim on the name. Because the heart of Christianity is to live like Jesus, and Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Let's pray. Father, so many times we don't really think about what we're saying. This is a time when I think we need to. I pray that what we claim in our lives, that what we claim is true. I pray that each one of us might understand what it means to be a Christian. What's the heart of Christianity. It's very simply the heart of Jesus beating in our lives. The vision of Jesus warming our hearts. Oh God, I simply pray that you do what no preacher can do. Touch the lives of each one. Speak to each heart that you might have glory in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand quietly, prayerfully. Every eye closed and every heart open. And I hope you understand that this was not about money. Money's simply the way you keep score. This was about a life that's surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. Anything less than that diminishes the joy and the life that Jesus came to give. And I pray that you might deal with each heart. If there are those here that have never really made that surrendered commitment of their life to Jesus, I pray that you might touch their hearts. They might come to that right now. It might be that some have lost their vision and their passion and the fire in their bones. And oh God, I pray that through your Spirit you'd renew that. Maybe those that simply need to come and be a part of a fellowship where Jesus is absolutely Lord. Father, whatever your desire is for each heart, I pray that you'd move and that your people would respond to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Going to be singing hymn of invitation, and that makes it so easy. You just step out on the first note and come down. I'll stand at the front, and if I can help you, I will. But it's not about me. It's not about the church. It's about Jesus. So I invite you to come. As we sing, come to Jesus.
Blood can cleanse each heart.